Welcome to the Steep Angle Podcast, the podcast fueled by a life of powdered slopes, ripping good single tracks, healthy living, and the tools and people that help us along the way. Energized by motion, exploration, and the celebration of life, we hope you find inspiration in what we share. Be courageous, be curious, and chase your adventure. I'm your host, Daniel, and this is Steep Angle. Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Today is Thursday, January 21st, 2021, and if you're within earshot of my voice, then that means that A, you stumbled on this podcast by accident and had no idea what to expect, or B, you subscribe to this podcast, in which case, thank you and welcome back. But either way, I hope you enjoy today's show. And if you did stumble on this podcast and you like what you hear, then go ahead and click on that subscribe button. I have a pretty rad guest today, but before that, here's an update on mountain conditions. Snow has finally arrived in Flagstaff, and Arizona Snowball has reported a 4-inch powder alert with the hopes of an additional 3 feet in the coming week. Looking at OpenSnow.com's forecast, 3 feet does look possible, but let's just keep a skeptical eye on the forecast as the week unfolds. My iPhone weather app shows 5 consecutive days with snowflakes, so there's that. Just another data point to tickle your snow riding senses. In the meantime, keep praying for snow, and hopefully the snow gods will look favorably upon us mere mortals and bless us with the 3 feet of powder we so desperately need. The San Juans in southwest Colorado just got hammered with snow, and for a hot minute the avalanche danger went from moderate to considerable, with the added storm slab avalanche problem below, at, and above treeline on all aspects. Today's forecast is back to the pesky persistent slab with moderate danger at and above treeline and low danger below treeline on northwest to southeast aspects with possible likelihood of trigger with sizes ranging from small to large. You know, persistent slab is kind of like that dinner guest that doesn't have the social awareness of knowing when it's time to leave and will likely persist until spring. So if you're traveling to the backcountry in the San Juans, be sure to get the forecast and know before you go. My guest today is the CEO of Canyon Coolers. Canyon Coolers makes the best premium coolers on the market today, catering to all kinds of adventures. Whether you're spending a weekend in Moab doing the weekend warrior thing on your mountain bike, or going out on that elk hunt that you've been patiently waiting to get drawn, Canyon Coolers has your back with coolers that are incredibly tough and ridiculously cold. So without further ado, please welcome Jason Costello, the self-proclaimed pirate captain of Canyon Coolers.
Dropping.
Hey, Jason.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for joining. This is great. We keep running into each other through like Instagram and social media and that sort of thing, but like we've never.
That's right. You have some great photos. You've got good traveling going on.
Yeah, thank you. But it's nice to finally kind of like formally get to know you and talk to you. This is really cool. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. So tell me about your podcast. I'm guessing it's pretty new and you're just kind of getting going. Was that the?
Yeah, pretty much. Right? So I started this podcast as kind of an outlet to share and discuss, you know, things that I'm passionate about, like, you know, skiing and mountain biking and, you know, cooking and traveling and that sort of thing.
And perfect for COVID too, really.
And, you know, and just have guests on that, you know, represent, you know, people and tools and products that kind of help us along the way through, you know, the journey with my passions and that sort of thing. So, and your guys's product is no stranger to me. You guys make an absolute killer product and we use it all the time whenever we go anywhere. It's always in tow with us. So thank you.
We certainly appreciate being part of the adventure there. So that's been the cool part of being in the business for sure.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, whenever my wife and I travel, we always have at least one of your coolers in tow. There was one time we went to the Bahamas and I actually used one of your soft shell coolers as my luggage, I, like packed my clothes in it That way, when we got to the Bahamas, I had a cooler.
I thought I was the only one that did that, but so there's at least two of us.
Yeah, exactly. Why carry extra stuff when a perfectly good cooler would do the trick? Yeah. So you started Canyon Coolers in 2010 as a
correct
business, right?
It was an accidental entrepreneurial outing. There was a little company up in Durango that they were a cooler company and they needed some help financing some production. I agreed to do it, and it turned out they weren't really a company, so I was holding on to the guy's inventory. And as he sold to the local river companies, I'd take the coolers, they'd send him a check, and then he was supposed to cut me a check. And then the checks were not showing up. And come to find out, he was running a pretty fancy house, living a pretty good lifestyle, not really paying any bills. So I liked the product. It was, you know, hardcore whitewater rafter at the time. It just made sense. I had just started another business a couple of years prior that had given me some confidence. We were doing a music festival called Hullabaloo here in Flagstaff.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kind of went for it. I had a lot on my plate at the time, but I sort of paid the guy off, so to speak. And we were bringing in these generic roto-molded coolers meant for the Australian marketplace. And we were fixing them up. I was fixing them up by hand and putting my own latches and my own seal because I like my stuff better. And that eventually and slowly evolved to us doing our own tooling, our own designs. We now manufacture both in Prescott and in Thailand. We do injection molding in California and other parts of Thailand too. I think our soft cooler is coming out of China currently, but so we're this small company with this kind of crazy supply chain. I literally ship seal from New Jersey to Thailand and then back here again. And we've started doing some assembly here in Flagstaff as well. So it's been a really fun journey. You know, it's stressful, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I think I'm kind of unemployable too at this point. once this stuff gets in you're out there fighting and scrapping every day, trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, I get that. So if we rewind the clock a little bit to before 2010 and starting Canyon.
Yes.
Was there something that you were gravitating towards coolers? Like, was there something saying there's got to be a better product?
You never wake up as a kid or even adult and go, I want to do plastic boxes. But life did have a pull. I was a sales manager. I had eight guys working for me. It was 50 hours a week, but and it was a nice family company, but the owner was bringing in his daughter. She just got her MBA. The writing was a bit on the wall for me. There wasn't the opportunity to grow really wasn't there. I was doing industrial safety and I loved it. Loved the field, loved the clients, loved working with folks. But I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family. Most entrepreneurs do. So for me, I think I came by it a little bit the hard way. But at some point, I woke up at 3 a.m. and just realized I had to make my own opportunities. And I think that was the bad idea or the seed or the germ that kind of, the things started to come from that. Before I knew it, my wife at the time and I and two other couples started Hullabaloo Festival. I had some great partners at the time. That went really well, gave me some confidence. And so I think it just that probably that catalyzed the whole journey right there. That was the catalyst. You got to make your own opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you speak a little to Hullabaloo? Like how did that come about? And is it still going on? I mean, well, I know it's probably not going on now because of, you know, the whole COVID thing, but
Well, it's my other partners were a local bar owner, Rand Jenkins, well known here in town, and Matt Ziegler, a music producer, and their respective wives, who are also critically important and great project managers, and mine as well at the time. And we were like, we noticed the Fat Tire Festival got unceremoniously kicked out of town. We liked a lot about it, a lot of the things about it, but we primarily had expressed an interest in really sort of just doing a beer tasting kind of event. And so it gathered some steam and kind of turned into this really large thing with a lot of vision. And thankfully I had the partners to help kind of put a lot of that together. But somehow it was a lot of work for a one weekend event, but you know, we catered to about 4,500 people a day, and thankfully the community embraced it. We put our own little spin on the Fat Tire Festival. It was a lot more family friendly and a little less of a drunken barn brawl. And, but we still had the costumes and the cool music. And so it just was embraced, and that really helped us. And it really, you know, really got going.
Although drunken barn brawls could be fun.
I participated in that for about 5 years.
Okay.
After about 5 years, Canyon was kind of growing from 1 million to 2 million revenue. And I just really had my hands full. And I think it was better served by me probably stepping to the side. So we went ahead and did that. And, but I did go back for the 10th anniversary right before all the COVID stuff, and had a great time there. It was really nice to see and feel that this, you know, this event still had that spirit.
Very cool. I had no idea that you had started that. So that's actually a surprise to me. So coming back to Canyon, why Canyon? Why not some other name? Like what about that name?
The name was just lucky, really. I was, there was a local raft outfitter business in town called Canyon with a little tilde over it. And a very small outfit. Sparky was the owner, and he was looking to sell, and I was looking to buy. And at the same time, I had this cooler drama unfolding in my lap, which I wasn't sure what that mess was going to turn into. And Sparky ended up selling all his assets over to Saba. Love Saba. Scott's great. No harm, no foul there. But I, in the meantime, it was like, hey, I should just call the Coolers Canyon as well, because I might be doing this raft outfitting business and just kind of, you know, get that synergy. But Canyon Coolers has a great ring to it. And what some people don't know is people were building high-end coolers in this town in the 80s by hand. And
oh, wow.
For the same rafting industry, and well ahead of the Yetis of the world. So I thought it was really great to kind of, you know, be able to bring that back a little bit. And at any rate, so we really started, our business really started catering to Whitewater people in the Whitewater community. Canyon has been lucky to have the best clients on earth, but they embraced us largely, and we were able to do a lot for them. And in return, I think I was able to take some of that credibility and show it to a hunter, and it made sense to him too. And we were able to kind of grow in those fields and in those marketplaces.
Do you find that the design of the cooler from the beginning was to cater to that whitewater rafting industry? Because when I look at it, it seems like the cooler that I have the Outfitter 35, and it looks like it just like falls into place wherever you have like a lot of stuff that you're kind of lugging for an adventure. But it seems like it always seems to fit perfectly wherever I put it, whether it's in my truck or otherwise.
I think the key word there was truck. We really were looking at the backs of trucks for that.
Okay.
And you did hit on something that's part of our DNA is we really try to do streamlined designs when it makes sense or for most applications, because we realize most of the time it's going to go in the back of a truck. Maybe it's in a small place in your Subaru or your Jeep. Maybe it's a sailboat, but you know, being cognizant of our folks' adventures, and that those other things around it probably take precedence, you know, oftentimes. So it just made sense to us to really have a streamlined cooler that could pack easily. And we do a lot of packing in the rafting industry, but I really didn't design like the medium-sized coolers from a raft perspective as much as just from a raft background, working out of trucks, you know, having old Broncos that didn't have a lot of room, having, you know, a truck that I wanted to pack with everything, and then my wife might want to pack with a whole lot more stuff. So
yeah, it usually goes like that. But it seems like you do have coolers that does seem to cater specifically to whitewater rafting.
Absolutely. We have our Prospector 103. That cooler is actually named after a miner that lived in the Southwest area named Bert Lober. And he would boat from place to place oftentimes to do some of his mining and prospecting. And he actually rode up the Colorado River. Brad Dimmick wrote a great book about him called The Long Hard Way. So that cooler was a bit of a tribute to him. But our 103 and our 150 and our 200 quart coolers, those bigger guys, we were looking at big whitewater rafting, such as the Colorado, what we're known for. So we have an even more pronounced lip on those, but your cooler will ride right on your frame rails, and you can tie the cooler off to the frame rails and still be able to get into the cooler, move the plug down to where get in and drain the water when they need to. Rope handles so you can drop it down in a boat a little bit easier. We even did a zero clearance hinge on our newest one, the 150, because you get a lot of gear behind you when you're rafting, but it plays into the elk and stuff too. When you have those giant coolers, you want to shove it against the back of the boat or the back of your truck and still be able to get to it.
Yeah, the whole white water rafting thing, that's an adventure that I've yet to take.
It's I would start with the San Juan, and you can get into a rental boat like pretty affordably around Flagstaff, at least they're readily available. Yeah, that's a great one to start with, and you can take your family, and it's got just enough rapids and great exploration.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my son to get a little bit older before I kind of throw him into that kind of thing. But one adventure at a time. So we're working on backcountry skiing right now. So we'll get to whitewater rafting eventually. It's I guess living in Flagstaff, you kind of have to. It's a rite of passage, I feel, like doing a river trip. Like,
well, that's the best part of being in this part of the country is there's so many adventures, and I think that's really helped our brand. I think that's helped us as a company and the people that work here. We all have some kind of outside passion, you know, and it varies from person to person, but I've got lots of hunters here. I have a couple of rafters here, and I've got people into other things that, but we're all outdoors people.
Yeah. Yeah. It shines through when you kind of visit like your canyon social media and all that stuff. I mean, it's obvious that the people that use the product, they're really going out and getting after it, which is really cool to see. And then when I first learned about Canyon Cooler, I was like, well, who are these people? And then when I was told that you guys were local, I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. You know, you have a great product. It's a local company, you know, catering to the local community. I was just so blown away by that.
Yeah, I was too dumb when I started this to realize I was going against billion-dollar companies and too stubborn to quit. And we certainly had lots of failures, but thankfully our failures have been quick and mostly cheap, and we were able to fail forward often enough and capitalize once in a while. And really, we've just had great support in Flagstaff, and we see it in Arizona as a whole now. And in the rafting community, really in the Mountain West, has kind of picked up on us, and that's been fantastic.
Very cool. So kind of coming back to what you just said in terms of, you know, a lot of stumbling, a lot of falling forward and that sort of thing. when did you realize that, okay, this is a thing now. This is becoming a business that I'm going to have to nurture and, you know, kind of water the plant and let it grow kind of thing. When did you realize that was starting to happen? And how did you overcome like some of the barriers that came with it?
Well, for me, if you're into horoscopes, I'm a Taurus, which will tell you I was just too stubborn to give up. I had years with no income, all the struggles that small businesses can have, cash flow, no inventory, you know, all that stuff. But I think for me, it was when somebody from back in the Southeast, it may have been Alabama or Georgia, they sent me a photo and it had about 3 coolers in it. And there were some dead alligators that they had been hunting. And the guy's wife was also sprawled across the top of the 3 coolers. And I looked at that and then I try to remain humble, but I looked at that and I was like, I'm the cooler king. Somehow these simple plastic boxes were funny. Were fun enough or enough of a part of their life adventure to make that picture and to send it to me. I was a bit honored, but that was like a thing. I think that was a moment that's hard to forget. There are certain revenue numbers you hit too that are kind of milestones for any business.
Yeah.
You know what? There was another event too that was really fortuitous. The category itself got really popular around 2015, 2016. It's crowded now. I've got 100 different competitors, but Four Wheeler Magazine tested our cooler against all the big names out there. All the Yetis and Orcas and Pelicans and all those guys. And our little 35 quart cooler beat them all for ice retention and hung in there or beat everybody for price. And I think we doubled in business that year because it was a big article in a major magazine back when people bought magazines instead of doing podcasts. that really kind of helped put us on the map. But yeah, we had all the struggles. I mean, I think for us, it's always been managing this insane supply chain and having the cash flow to get the inventory in place. And that's still something we wrap our arms around in the off season and work towards. I built 2 completely separate supply chains thinking I'd finally was going to figure this out. You know, I'll have the American, maybe USA stuff, and I'll have the overseas stuff. And, sure enough, COVID comes along the very next year and it showed me just how well plans sometimes go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's an old saying, man makes plans and God laughs.
That's it. Exactly.
Now, do you find
we've really been,
go ahead.
We've just really been fortunate to have the customers that we have, and some of them have certainly displayed a lot of patience and we bought a second or a third or a fourth cooler, which blows my mind, but it's really allowed us to go forward as a company, as these folks advocating for us out there, getting them friends to buy our products. It helps our family grow a bit here, and we love it.
Very good. Do you find that you have a common thread of challenges that continue from the beginning, or have the challenges evolved over time? And, you know, feel free to speak to COVID in that as well.
Every year is a little, we do have some of the same challenges and we absolutely have to evolve. And I think over the last 2 years, I think of our processes and our systems maybe weren't quite adequate to get us to the next level. And so we had to kind of breathe and take a look at that. What does our flow need to work look like internally? What kind of computer systems and forecasting do we need to do? So that's gotten a lot more sophisticated. Thankfully, some of the tools to manage that have gotten easier to use and get a hold of. But it still kind of comes back to supply chain. I mean, the phone can ring and somebody will want 1,055 quart coolers, which is an amazing show-stopping order. But if you do that, then you have a whole bunch of unhappy dealers and a whole bunch of unhappy website users. So you kind of have to say no. So, you know, it does sometimes feel like the brass ring is always 2 inches out of reach, but sometimes you get it in your hand a little bit. I mean, it's always a challenge. And the thing about being an entrepreneur is a lot of those challenges come back to your own shortcomings. And so you have to hire to your weaknesses. You have to, admit maybe when you're wrong or pick your battles. So, all that stuff is always ongoing.
Yeah. It's almost like a combination of, the kind of problems you want and the kind of problems you don't want and try to eliminate the ones you don't want as much as possible.
Yeah. If I can get rid of some of the low hanging fruit and try to breathe on some of the bigger stuff, it we'll get there somehow.
Yeah. Now, one thing I've noticed, at least for me, like you guys have, you continue to carry your flagship products like the Outfitter and the Prospector and those products. But then you also, create new ones and like the new Pro line and the Nomad Softshell and those products. Can you speak to the development process? Like how do you guys continue to evolve?
That's a great question. Sometimes it just comes from like, hey, we think there's a hole in the marketplace for this or that. The Pro series versus the Outfitter series. I think with the Outfitter series, we really got to build the company on that, but it's a no frills product that you can buy substantially cheaper than brand Y and will give you, great results. The Pro series was more a different philosophy. It was, hey, this cooler is not cheap. It's going to cost you about as much as brand Y, but we can build it so much better. And what we wanted to do is have better touch points, better latches, better ice retention, better modularity, better, more attuned to the user. And we wanted to make that one in the USA as well, as much as possible. Now in the Pro line, we assemble all of them here in Flagstaff. Most of them are molded here, Prescott and foamed in Prescott. We do mold a few in Thailand as well, but we finish the assembly with all of them here. We injection mold all the parts out here in California primarily. But it was just a little different animal. And it meant to kind of move us. So we have our, we have our base offering, but now we have a more premium offering. And it's been well accepted. So you have a divider that turns into a table. It'll hold catering pans. We have some other plans in the future, hopefully, for some accessories and modularity to it that hopefully it can turn into a bit of a family of products when you go camping.
Very cool. Now, as part of kind of that development process, do you allow certain market trends to influence your evolution of products? In other words,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. Because you're gambling ultimately. Like when I go to Vegas, I don't need to gamble because I do it every day at work. But, when you introduce a product, it's a balance of, all right, do I want to own a niche? Is the niche big enough? Do I want to go main market where I might have a lot more competitors? What's an easy add-on item? What works with the business? I think for me, drinkware is probably something like that. So we look at drinkware. I didn't necessarily feel like I had anything to add that would create a better drinking bottle other than, trying to look at the better options that are out there. A lot of the other cooler companies have drinkware. It's nice in that it works with the business. I can put them inside the cooler and send them to the dealer. So the freight component's certainly acceptable and the numbers work. And it's a massive market. So that's okay. But I struggled with it for years because it's a monetary investment. I didn't want to be entirely generic. And I just kind of held my breath and was patient about it. And what we ended up doing is partnering up with an amazing artist, Hopi artist, Dwayne, and we came out with a custom line of these native bottles that are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so we're, I think for us, that segment might be about collaboration and finding great people to work with that help us elevate our product and support what they're doing too.
Yeah, so more of a quality versus quantity type.
And it took me a long time
stream.
To get there. So yeah. And in like the case of our soft cooler, we just couldn't find a supplier that met our quality standards. That product getting into soft coolers was delayed or restarted or hitched and stopped quite a bit because we just couldn't get the liner that wasn't going to leak water into your inside of your product or other little QC things that just didn't feel like it came in product. So it just took extra years literally to find the supplier that could work with the materials we wanted, that was using materials that were a little more environmentally friendly, to where in the quality so we could make it happen. So everything is a slightly different struggle or series of compromises. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, on your Instagram handle, you are the self-proclaimed pirate captain. How much of that persona exists within the Canyon Coolers organization?
Organization, it might be a strong word for Canyon Coolers. it's not my strength, but we have a handful of type A personalities running around that I have the deepest, utmost respect for. And I see my job as sort of managing the chemistry, and they get to do their job. And my hope is and belief is that they can do their job better than I can do their job. I'm just there to sort of provide some guidance and support when they need it. Hopefully not too much accountability. Hopefully they can bring that to the table. But when needed, we do that too. So there's a lot of freedom that comes with the job, but there are some, that comes with a different set of challenges too as well.
So you're coming up on what, your 11th year now of Canyon Coolers. Well, what's the biggest thing you've learned from this 11-year journey?
My beard gets much grayer every year. you have to be humble enough to learn and admit some errors. You have to be tenacious enough not to give up. And you have to be willing to question things that maybe you've done a certain way for a long time that sometimes they have to be changed as well.
Is there anything you wish you'd done differently?
Oh gosh. I don't dwell too much on my mistakes because it's a long list anyway. But, if I'd been with hindsight, if I'd have gone out and raised a lot more money and had a lot more of a venture capital sort of a thing, yeah, this could be a $100 million company by now. But it wouldn't be me, really. So there are those mistakes that happen, but we grow every year, and I just have to be thankful for that. In fact, our warehouse is going to more than double here March 1st. My job now is just to kind of make sure I can finance enough inventory to bring it in. And there's all kinds of products we want to do, but we got to make sure we have the stock, the everyday stuff that everybody wants. So that's what I wrestle with every day, or, at least going before spring.
And when you look at the last 11 years and kind of the growth of, of Canyon Coolers as an enterprise. What if any would you say is what you're most proud of?
And it's the people and watching them grow and the organization grow. Like, I was thinking about this on my way to work this morning. Like, I would far rather see the business double than the size of my house double. Because when the business doubles, it's the warehouse person that becomes the warehouse manager. It's the marketing person that becomes a marketing director. Those things, like that kind of stuff, like, you know, I don't want to live under a bridge, don't get me wrong, but like watching the people kind of grow and giving birth to new products that are accepted and liked in the retail markets. Those are the things that I really, really like.
So if you were to sum up the last 11 years in one word, as it pertains to Canyon Coolers and the whole journey, how would you sum that up?
Passion. I think we have a passion for, and I've been lucky enough to attract people that have that passion too. So I think we try. We're far from perfect, but we put heart into what we do.
Yeah. Then it comes through, it shows like that passion when, you know, when you're seeing things like through the lens of social media and all that, like that, I feel like your passion and the passion of your employees kind of comes through the product and, you know, the people that use it as well. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's humbling to have like this little fan base that we have, and we're David versus Goliath, but David's doing okay.
yeah, I'll say. So for those of you listening, go out and get yourself a Canyon Cooler. It's a fantastic product. It's probably, in my opinion, it's the best product out there right now. I just absolutely love it.
I'm either very cold or I'm blushing, but thank you, Daniel.
So now we're going to do a little segment of the podcast that I do with all my guests. It's no wrong answers, bunch of questions that I like to ask, and kind of it's a see what makes you tick, kind of get to know you type questions. Again, no wrong answers. So favorite food?
Mexican food all day long. I did a buffalo chicken chili last night with about 8 different kinds of peppers in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you like spicy hot or spicy flavor or both?
I love savory flavor profiles. Absolutely. And left to my own devices, I'll probably make any food I prepare taste a bit Mexican. Maybe too much.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Cake or pie?
Pie all day. All day. Not even close.
Okay, so I know I said there are no wrong answers. There's a wrong answer to that one, and you got it.
Rum cake, maybe. German chocolate's okay, but coconut cream, banana cream, apple pie.
Apple pie, exactly. You know, a la mode, come on. You can't go wrong with that. Pecan, a close second.
Oh, yeah. There's a Jack Daniels pecan at that Black Canyon place. Oh, yeah. Love it.
And if you're in Key West, you got to do what the Key Westerners do and have key lime pie.
Chest pie in the deep south. Oh, good stuff.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh. I think I do some of those. I think all the Ben and Jerry's are sort of the same, but you get me into like a little bit of caramel, a little bit of chocolate, or maybe some cookie dough, stuff like that.
All right. What was the last book you read?
What was the last book I read? I think it was called Hang On, and my girlfriend required that I read that. It was about my emotional maturity or lack thereof, and awakening the other side of masculinity. I came out wrong, but I'm not a man bun guy, but you know,
yeah,
I do need to grow up a little.
Well, you could grow old, but not grow up.
Exactly. You think like a 12-year-old.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. First life-changing moment.
Life-changing moment. You know, I went to 6 different elementary schools. I was a Coast Guard kid. So I lived in Guam, Hawaii, New York, Virginia, and like Seattle all within 6 years or something. So I think acclimating to all these different places broadens your views on things I don't know. I think that strikes a chord anyway.
If you wrote a book, what would you title it?
No idea.
That's actually a pretty good title.
Mildly interesting.
All right, last question. Do aliens exist? And are they friendly or hostile if they do?
Oh, gosh, let me get my tinfoil hat here. I'm not going to say aliens don't exist. There's life out there. There's life out there. I don't know if they've been probing my neighbors. I'm going to say. At this point, with the way civilization's going, I think it'd be a great thing to have some aliens come by. Maybe they give us some pointers.
They probably come by here and just like turn around. And they're like, these guys are going to blow themselves up. No need to stop
here.
Like
a bad highway. Yeah,
exactly. It's a bad truck stop. Well, cool, man. This has been great. I appreciate you coming on the show.
I really enjoyed it. This
very cool. Thank you.
I get to call this work, right?
Yeah. You know, it's take a break from all the daily grind stuff. So, so before we leave, what's the next adventure? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, it's permit season for Rafting World, so I need to get some permits in for some rivers. I love the Yapa River. I shouldn't say that out loud, but that one. I need to get some of my staff on a river trip that haven't done it before. We've got a product that we're going to start moving into a different phase of development. So hopefully we'll have like a pretty cool something coming out in the third quarter.
Well, very cool. Very cool. So for everyone listening, keep an eye out for new Canyon Cooler developments. And if you don't have one now, definitely go out and get one.
Daniel, thank you so much for having me.
This has been great, man.
Good luck with the podcast. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to support the show and shop on Amazon, then visit www.steepangle.com. That's STEEPANGLE.com. Click through the Amazon banner and show us a little love. Bye for now.